Pastor Josh Hersey.
Hey, church family, good morning. Welcome. I'm so glad that you are here. As many of you know, Lauren and I have been away on a sabbatical. Interestingly enough, though, this will be the very last time that we communicate to you this way. In fact, today is the last day. As of tomorrow, I'll be back in full operation doing what I love to do and what energizes me so much, and that is serving you. So if you want to continue praying for us, I would pray this, that as we get back into just the norm and the flow, I just want to ask you to pray that that I would have the energy that I need and the capacity that I need to lead and serve this church well. To be very honest with you, I love this more than you can imagine. And as much as I enjoyed the restful time away, I'm eager and very excited to get back after it and lead and serve this church So the way that I know I'm called to do. And so thank you for your prayers, and thank you for being a part of this sabbatical journey with us. Hey, I also want to take a moment and just thank all of you that were a part of Serve Day. I love that our church is so engaged in the community, and I love that we are so vibrant and healthy in the way that we make a difference in the lives of other people. If you were a part of Serve Day, thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for making a difference. Thank you for investing your time into other people. If you're interested, like maybe it didn't work your schedule and you say, man, I really would like to do things like that, trust me, we are constantly making a difference in the lives of other people. It's not one day a year. It is all throughout the year. And if you want more information about that or would like to know how you can get involved in that, I would just say all access is your answer. It'll tell you every way that we make a difference as a church. Okay, so here it is. It's the final Sunday that we have a different voice on the platform speaking to you. Today is a voice that many of you, especially if you call Church on the Rock home, you know and you love. But this is an intentional voice as much as every voice has been a part of this series. Today you're going to hear from somebody that means so much to me. And this voice, though, again, we know him and we love him, I wanted to spend a couple of minutes just talking about our relationship and the voice that he has been in my life and why he has such a credible voice into the life of our church. Today, you're going to hear from what many people call the funny guy. You're going to hear from our very own Pastor Derek. What I want to say, though, is this, that not only is Pastor Derek a staff member here, not only is he a member of the executive leadership team here, not only is he a part of this church and has been for decades, Pastor Derek is also my great, great friend. In fact, one of the closest friends I have. He's not only my close friend, he's also my brother-in-law, married my sister, and he's also what I like to call my wingman. In fact, my entire ministry life, I can't remember a time that Derek and I were not serving together. When I would look out the cockpit of what I'm flying, he was always there on my wing, and he has become an invaluable person in my life. I didn't get a blood brother, but God gave me Derek. We'll obviously cut that. So Derek, I want to say thank you for just being who you are, not only to me, but to all of us at Church on the Rock. I'm so thankful that you are a voice in this house. I love you. We love you. Come on, church family. Let's give it up for our very own Pastor Derek.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know pastors lie like that, so I want to squash a couple rumors real quick. One, that Pastor Josh is dead. He's not. He's actually on a sabbatical. We're not covering something up. There's no cover-up. He's not with Elvis and Tupac, I swear. He is coming back next Sunday. And I'm not sure if he saved me for last, like a good thing or like a bad thing, you know? Like the last thing you eat on your plate is your vegetables kind of thing. Or if it's like the last thing you eat is dessert kind of thing. I haven't figured this out yet. So maybe we'll figure it out together, everyone. Let's figure it out together. Good morning. I am glad to be with you. I'm so excited that you guys came today. I'm so excited you didn't know I was speaking and you came. I feel like yesterday I was driving down the road and I could just feel like the pressure of speaking coming on. It's a strange kind of phenomenon that happens every time I speak. I get like super nervous. So a lot of people are like, do you get nervous? I'm like shaky nervous, like throw up in the bathroom nervous every single time. And I don't think it's because I'm like scared to talk to you. It's because I have a high value for what happens on this stage and on this pulpit. And I don't want to mess it up trying to be funny. just kidding. I'm going to mess it up a little bit, but you guys are going to forgive me. I want to tell you that around 4:30, honestly, it was a pressure, but it was really like I could feel the anointing of God begin to stir, and I could feel him begin to like speak to me and begin to like kind of get me ready for this, and he gives me the strength to do this. So I'm just excited. I want to tell you that this morning I was praying over every single seat in this auditorium. I was praying for you. I was praying for breakthrough in your life. I was praying for healings to happen in your life. I was praying that salvation would happen. And as I began to pray, I could feel again like the heaviness of that. Like I was putting that on me. And I could feel God just kind of say, you know, I want all those things for them more than you do. And I just kind of laughed. And I thought, well, that's so relieving, isn't it? So now like the pressure to save the world is not on you. The pressure to see God move in other people's lives doesn't rest solely on you, that he's going to move and he's going to do it. And we just get to take part in it. Amen. So I'm going to jump right in. I just wanted to say that. I wanted to say thank you, Pastor Josh. If you're watching online, thank you for those kind words. And I just want to say, if it's your first time here, that I know that it's scary to walk into a building like this and sit with people and trust your friend or your neighbor that invited you in, that this is gonna be like a good thing for you. I just wanna thank you for coming and being brave enough to like just check out church today. And so I've just been praying for you. I pray that you would just see that God is life-giving, that God loves you, that God cares about you. And I just pray that today you would walk away seeing God as more beautiful than he was before you walked in. How about that? You guys pray that with me for our guests? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read a couple scriptures. We're going to do some application points. I'm going to pray a prayer. And then I want you to take your neighbor out to lunch, okay? Can you do that? So look to the person on your right for me. Look to the person on your left. And you go ahead and decide who you're going to pray chooses to take you out to lunch, all right? I don't know who that is. That's between you and God. Well, when I was in high school, people would always say, you need to memorize the Bible. So I didn't know really where to go, what verse to memorize. The Bible doesn't say what verses to memorize. So you just got to pick them, you know? Like, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. How many of you guys picked that verse for your, who's got that tattooed on them somewhere, no? I picked Jeremiah 29:11. How many of you guys picked that verse? It's one of your favorite verses. I read it to you if you've forgotten it, but you've heard it, you've seen it at Hobby Lobby, on placards. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." How many of you guys love that? I clung to that verse in high school, like God, because people were always asking me, what are you going to do when you graduate? What are you going to do when you graduate? What are you going to do when you graduate? And I would say, God knows. It's just a great answer. God knows. Hey, I don't know yet. God knows. And I would cling to that, and I would quote it, and I would say it, and I would memorize it, and I would write it down, and I would make sure that I did not depend solely on me for my future, that I was leaning into what God had for me. If the Bible is true and that God knows the plans that he has for me, I want to know those plans too, right? I want to walk in those plans. I got a good feeling that those plans are going to be better than my plans, yeah? And I love the idea that he has a hope for me. Like, God has hopes for my life. God has hopes for you. Have you thought about that? Like I have hope. I hope one day to you know, get a bigger house, or I hope that my kids end up, you know, serving the Lord, and I hope all these things. But God has hopes for me. That's awesome, all right? And God has hopes for you, and he has a future for you. And I wanted to kind of hit on that because through high school, I really leaned on that verse, but I don't know if life has happened to anybody else, but you begin to question, like, God, I don't know if you remember that Jeremiah 20:11 verse, but you said you got a plan for me. You gonna let me in on this plan? Like, God, don't keep your secrets from me. Just tell me what you want me to do. Like, tell me, Lord, I want to know. Like, it kind of begins to get a little bit, like, frustrating. Like, God, I really want to know the plans that you have for me. Like, lay them out. Just give me the book called What Derek Should Do, and I'll just follow the guide of that book, you know? Anybody ever seen the end of Back to the Future? When Marty wakes up in his bed and all that stuff had happened back in the day. Well, all that stuff that he had done had changed the future. And when he woke up in his room, everything was different around him. Remember that? He had a cool truck, and his brother was successful, and his mom and dad were much happier. And all these things had changed because he had changed the decisions and the choices that they had made back in the future. So I'm just kind of like vibing on that, because today's message, I want to call it Choose Your Future. Choose your future. Like, how do I live without regret? Like, how do I break out of the rut that I am in? How do I never settle for where I am? Or how do I step into the future that God has for me, for the wonder of the next moment that I feel like maybe God's leading me into? How do I do that? So I began to look at some other verses about that kind of like connect with Jeremiah 29:11, and I want to just kind of jump right into them. Exodus 14, verse 10, it says this: as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up from where the Egyptians, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians chasing after them. So let me backtrack so you guys know what's going on, okay? The Israelites are in slavery. God hears their cry. He invades Moses' life. He sends Moses to Pharaoh. Moses and Pharaoh have it out. God sends 10 plagues into Egypt. God does amazing miracles. The people of Israel get released with all the treasures of Egypt. Pharaoh then changes his mind, grabs 600 of his chariots and a bunch of army, and go after the Israelites, and they're chasing them down into the desert. They are now trapped at the Red Sea with the Pharaoh's army coming at them. And we're picking up the story right there. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again, and the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Here the Israelites are in this critical moment. They are in panic mode. All right, the choices that they will make next will affect their future. And what I want to talk to you about today is the unique dynamic that we have as humans with the future. Because I think a lot of us have this magical, maybe even superstitious view of the future, like it just sort of happens. And I want to present the idea that the future doesn't just happen, that as humans, we make the future. Like, it's not like this with every other species. Like, silkworms, they make silk. Like, they never decide, you know what, this is kind of getting old, let's make cotton instead. They don't do that. Like, a honeybee makes honey. Honeybees never get tired of making honey and start making peanut butter. They just don't do it. But we as humans, we can make something, and we can make futures. Like, we decide what happens with our lives. We decide that humans create futures, and if you're not choosing your future, there's a good chance that you are entering into the wrong future. Have you ever, like, just got tired of making decisions? I mean, you make a lot of decisions every day, and I'm thankful that, like, I don't have to make every decision. Like, I'm thankful I don't have to make the decision to breathe. Can you imagine if you had to tell yourself to breathe? Like, the ADD in me, I would certainly die. Like, I would get distracted, forget, and just, like, okay, breathe. Okay, breathe. You couldn't have a conversation. I'm thankful that we don't have to make every decision. I'm thankful that sometimes when I go in the kitchen, I just find something to eat right away. I'm thankful that, you know, you ever go into the kitchen, you open the fridge door, and you just stare into this fridge. Like, and then you close it, and you go back into the living room, and then 60 seconds later, you walk back in, you open that fridge, and you're trying to decide, like, what am I going to eat? And you think about it, and you close it again, and you turn, and you open it again, and you know there's nothing new in there. Like, nothing is reappearing that wasn't there the last time you checked. But I think that something's happening, and we're just lowering our expectations of what's actually in our fridge to the point where we finally will open it and decide on something that is in the fridge, right? I don't know how many times I've been like, babe, there's nothing to eat. She'd be like, there's salad. And I'm like, no, there's nothing to eat. I don't want salad. And we make a lot of decisions. And you know what's kind of weird, too, is like, the most spiritual thing that you can do in a lot of ways is make a choice. If I were to ask you, what's the most spiritual thing you can do? You might say pray. You might say meditate. You might say read your Bible. You might say go into church. You might say serving your community. And no matter what that thing is, it started with a choice. Like, I'm going to choose to get up and read my Bible. I'm going to choose to pray. I'm going to choose to serve God today. To choose is the beginning of every spiritual activity you will ever engage in. Isn't that interesting? And whether you consider yourself spiritual or you don't even understand this whole, like, God spiritual thing, I want to tell you that your entire life ahead of you will be created by the choices that you make today. And it makes sense to me that in the scriptures, God is constantly leading people to these epic intersections where he leaves it up to them to decide. That's what's happening to the children of Israel in this story. Like, hey, I have done a lot for you. I have set you free. I have brought you out of Egypt. You are now not in slavery. You are now free to do whatever you want to do. And I'm putting you here, and you need to make a choice on what you're going to do. And have you ever noticed, too, that whenever... Like, have you ever noticed that when you just let the future happen, you never end up with the life you wanted? Isn't that interesting? Like, if you put your life in default mode, you usually won't end up where you thought you wanted to end up. I think that's interesting. Like, wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to make choices and life just worked out all the time? Like, if you didn't have to choose every single thing. But it's interesting because people that make bad choices... And I find, maybe you find this too, the people that make the worst choices and they end up in bad spots can never seem to realize it was their choices that oftentimes brought them to that point. Isn't that true? But I do believe that if choices can get you in trouble, choices can get you out of trouble too. I believe if we can make bad choices, we can make good choices. If we can choose to live for the wrong things, we can choose to live for the right things. So let's jump back into this verse. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, and they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. How many of you guys ever cried out like that? You're not really exactly praying. You're more just whining to God. Yeah? It's amazing how they saw, all they could see at that moment was Pharaoh coming after them. They could not seem to remember all that God had done to get them to this spot. They could not seem to remember the miracles. They could not seem to remember the fact that, like, the Egyptians had given them all this treasure. They couldn't seem to remember that there was literally a pillar of fire and an angel with a cloud that is right in front of them. They couldn't seem to remember any of that. All they could see was the crisis at hand. And I always think, like, if God, if you would just do a miracle in my life, then I would believe. God, if you would just do something so supernatural, so incredible, that I would just, like, I would never doubt you again. But the truth is, even if God did, you would forget the next day. Because that's just how we are as humans. Because yesterday's faith can never handle today's crisis. Like, the thing God did yesterday was awesome, but you need faith in God today. You need faith in God today. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." I can just hear Moses saying, "Wait, no, that's actually not what you said at all. Actually, what happened was I was living my life out in the desert with my beautiful wife, and I was shepherding, and I was happy. And then God showed up with a burning bush because you were crying out to me for freedom. And I got called to go to Pharaoh and on your behalf and set you free. You didn't want to stay as a slave. But now that the Pharaoh's army is coming after you, now somehow you've gotten a new memory, right? You didn't say that at all, actually. And I find that interesting because, like, have you ever prayed a big prayer? Like, something really big? Have you ever just asked God for something great? Have you ever just kind of thought to yourself, like, "God, I know, like, you're going to do something awesome in me"? How many of you guys got that feeling that God is doing something awesome in you? Like, maybe your prayer is like, "God, I know you made me awesome. Just, like, make me even awesomer." But here's the thing. If we pray to God for him to do big things in our life, like, "God, set me free from this so I can serve you. Like, God, if you'll release me from this bondage, I will serve you." And then God sets you free, but he sends you through something to get you to where he actually wants you to go. And you say, "God, what are you doing?" That's what the Israelites were saying. God, what are you doing? You set us free. Now what are you doing? So here's a little tip that I've kind of learned on God. Ready? Don't ask God to make you great and keep your challenges small. Don't ask God to make you great and keep your challenges small. Don't pray for God's outcome, but deny his process. Like, we pray to God to set us free, he does it, and then we get angry at the uncertainties of freedom. Because freedom presents a lot of uncertainties, doesn't it? They realize that with great freedom comes great responsibility. Come on, where's my Spider-Man fans out there? Let me word it a different way so you don't think about Spider-Man. What happens when the safety of slavery looks more attractive than the uncertainty of freedom? What happens when we realize that, like, I don't know how to be free? Like, I don't know what to do. Anybody know anybody like that? That just like, why does she keep dating that guy? Anybody ever asked that question? Like, why is she still dating that guy? Because she's so afraid to be alone that she keeps the wrong guy to avoid having to go into loneliness, the process of finding the right guy. Yeah? Why does he keep that job that he constantly complains about and is miserable at? Why does he do it? Because he's so afraid to let go of that job, the safety of being miserable there is greater than the future that maybe God is nudging him to, but yet has a lot of uncertainty in it. In verse 13, Moses answers the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." God says the same thing to me and you today. He says, "I'm going to put your past in your past." But just like the Egyptian army, your past, it is trying to hunt you down. It's constantly trying to hunt us down. Like you thought you let it go. You thought you forgave, but somehow you feel that bitterness coming right back. You thought you overcame that addiction, and now you can feel it haunting you, coming after you. You thought you left it in the past, but all that hurt and all that fear and all that doubt, it just keeps coming back at you. Have you ever felt like you left the past, but the past keeps catching up to you? I think it's because the past keeps on running after us no matter what. It's always coming after us. And the moment that we stop to look back is the moment we see it just come barging in to our lives. And it's interesting, it always seems to be the worst parts of our past that is chasing us down, isn't it? I love verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Jamie's dad, my wife's dad, had this awesome revelation on this verse. The verse, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Because I think for a lot of us, we look at this verse as the permission to be paralyzed by fear. Like this verse is saying, like, just sit and be still. Don't do anything for God. Just sit and wait and let God do everything for you. And too often we find ourselves just sitting and being still for way too long. And Jamie's dad had this kind of revelation on it, and I loved it because he said he realized that it wasn't so much that he needed to be still and not do anything. It was that he needed to still his mind and tell his mind to slow down, to tell your mind to be quiet, to be calm, because God is still God. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm for you, that I'm with you, that I'm moving on your behalf. God never seems to say be still because you're moving in too much faith, because you have too much courage, because you're just moving too fast. Like God can't keep up with the amazing faith that you have. So like, hey, you need to stop. You need to slow down. I can't keep up with you. I feel like we often use this verse, be still, too often in the wrong context. God is saying be still and know that he's God. So here's the rule. If you're trying to retreat, be still. If you're trying to give up, be still. If you're looking back, be still and know that he is God. Because the very next verse says something different. Verse 15, and then the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? In other words, why are you praying to me right now? Tell the Israelites to move on. I love this. First, he says, be still. Verse 14, be still. Verse 15, move on. Okay, God, which one is it? Which one? You want me to be still or you want me to move on? Why are you crying out to me, Moses? I can just hear Moses saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And God is saying, okay, be still. All right, calm down. All right. Now let's go. Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you realize that like let's just pray about it. Someone pulled a let's just pray about it on you. Like I remember the time I asked my wife to marry me. And I remember like I planned this whole thing. I'd ask her father for permission. I had like picked the fanciest restaurant in St. Augustine, 95 Cordova. It's closed down now. But it was at the time, it was like the most expensive place. It was annoying how expensive it was. You know, like, yes, it's perfect. And I had bought the right outfit. I had chosen her. I bought Jamie an outfit, okay? Like, I found out her size. I like showed up at the house with flowers. All these choices that led up to this beautiful date, right? And then we went to the beach, and we're walking down the beach, and I had this, like, pocket that had this ring in it with the little, I was ready. And I'm thinking it through. I thought so much of it through. I thought so much. And we're sitting there on the beach. The moon is super bright. It's like this beautiful night. And it's just us. We're over there. Like, we've walked, like, north on, right there where the it doesn't matter. We're Yankee Beaches. That's what I called it. I don't know what you guys call it. But there's no one out, and we're sitting there on the beach, and I realize, like, I need to ask her. Like, you got to do it, Derek. You just got to ask her. And I'm like, I think she's going to say yes, but there's this uncertainty that maybe, you know, I missed all the signals. And so I got, it's really bright out, and this ring is, the diamond is huge. It's almost a carat. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up. I've never told this story, actually, and I feel like I shouldn't tell it now. I said, I was sitting on the beach, and she's talking. I'm trying to talk, but all I can think about is how I'm going to do it. Like, how are we going to ask her? How are you going to ask her? How are you going to ask her? And all the plans were out the window now. Like, there was no more plans. Like, I had planned it all the way up to that point, but at that point, you just, you know what you're going to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I said, I need that. I'm going to go put the ring, like, a little farther ahead, like, on a dune. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to open the thing. I'm going to set it up, and then we're going to stumble upon it. Like, oh my gosh, what is this? Like, this is my idea, like, that's happening while she's talking to me. So I'm like, this is gonna work out great. Okay, so I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna go walk over, and then wait, she's gonna follow me. So I'm like, okay, what do I say? So I'm like, hey Jamie, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Why did I say that? I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of to get me out of, like, her area so I could go set it on the dune and then run back real quick. So I said, I'm going to go pee, babe. And I'm like, oh, that was dumb. That was stupid. You could have come up with something better. Now, but it's too late now. So she's like, okay. So we get over to the dune. I'm like, oh, my gosh, there it is. She's like, oh, my gosh. So I get down on my knee. Come on. And I say some sweet words like, baby, you're like the best thing that's ever happened to me. Like, you're better than free Chick-fil-A. Like, you're better than, like, my mom's, Thanksgiving meals. I'm starting to cry, like, baby, I love you so much. I say all these sweet things, and I say, Jamie, will you marry me? And what if in that moment she says, let me pray about it. Jamie, I'm gonna ask you again. This is not the time to pray. We just spent hundreds of dollars tonight to get to this point. All right, let me ask you again. just to let you guys know, we've been married coming up on 20 years. And she did not say, let's pray about it. She said, yes. She might have wished she would have said, let's just pray about it. But she didn't. She said yes. And I want to tell you right now that God is looking down into this scene with Moses, and he's saying, Moses, now is not the time to pray. There is an Egyptian army coming up at you fast. You need to do something and not be still. You need to do something and not be still. And I feel like so many of us are capsized with fear and anxiety, and you don't know what to do. And God is saying, do something. Just do something, like, do something good. Like, can you do something good in your life? And I got a feeling when you do, God's going to show up, because Moses then takes his rod, he strikes the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts, and they walk across on dry land, all right, into the promised land that God had sent them into. The Egyptian army was just overcome with the waters that had crashed in. They drowned in the ocean. And I'm telling you today that God wants to move in your future. But he needs you to step out in faith today. He needs you to move out today. Because too many of us have this magical view of the future. That if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. Like, who taught us that? Who taught you that you're supposed to be disconnected from creating the future? I mean, that seems to be the exact opposite of what I read in Scripture. Like, you're a created being, and you can make choices that will lead to your spiritual depth, that will lead to your freedom. Like, God wants to part Red Seas for you, but it takes you taking a step. It takes you deciding to not look back into Egypt, to leave the bondage and step into freedom. And maybe for somebody in here, you need to stop blaming. Like, you have blamed everything that has happened to you on other people. And yes, I know, and I am not insensitive to the idea that other people's choices have crashed into your life, and the things that they have did have maybe left you wrecked. And it's terrible. And some of you know the power of other people's choices. Because you are wounded and broken and shattered because of the choices that someone else made. But I want to tell you today that those choices do not have to define your future. Like recognizing the power to choose and to choose a different way, because your choices don't affect just you. Like they affect everyone around you. They affect your family. The ripples of your choices will affect your community. The countless multitudes can be affected by decisions that you make today. What would happen if we decided today as a church to choose the future? To choose that you're going to live life knowing that God has a future for you, and it's bigger than you know. What if you decide to believe that you are God's created agent to produce good, to create a future that is good, that is filled with beauty and truth, and you're not gonna live apathetically or stuck in fear or refuse to move on or be paralyzed by fear, that we're gonna move on with where God is calling us. Because here's another terrible fact. Evil people don't wait for God's permission to do the things that they wanna do. The world is always full of people that are doing things and they're moving and they're not waiting on God. The fact that Pharaoh's army should have easily destroyed them, the fact that at this point there wasn't a whole lot of hope for the Israelites with the Egyptian army coming up on them fast. But I want to tell you that the facts aren't what determine your future if God is involved. My future isn't just filled with facts. There are facts. If you want to become a doctor in your future, the fact is you need to go to college and you need to become a doctor. But the other fact is God can begin to move and make a way where there seems to be no way to make that happen in your life. Your future is filled with faith. Amen. Faith in God, faith that he'll provide, faith that he will perform miracles on your behalf. Faith that he is doing and moving even when we cannot see it happen. And here's the last thing, and we got to close. I'm over on time. Stepping into tomorrow is not stepping into your future. Your tomorrow is coming whether you like it or not. But it doesn't mean that you are moving into the future. See, tomorrow is coming no matter what you do, but God's future for you comes based on what you do, based on the decisions that you make. And some of you are burning up tomorrows because you are not stepping into the future, trapped in your past, cycling through the same mistakes, the same choices that are taking down your life. Maybe there's a choice that you need to make right now. I'm praying that God begins to show you something that is blocking you from the future that he has for you. I'm praying that right now he's just revealing that in your spirit. Like whatever it is that you need to do to take that next step in faith so that he can move you into the future that he has for you. Right now, someone in here, you hate your life. You hate the life that you have gotten. I want to tell you some amazing news that Jesus Christ offers you, not just a change of life, not just like, hey, let me tweak your life a little bit. The Bible says that Jesus offers you a brand new life. When you accept Christ, when you believe in Jesus, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And today, I want to invite someone in here to just accept that new creation, to begin to walk in a new life with him. I love the way Dallas Willard, in the book, The Divine Conspiracy, he wrote, he said, "The gospel is the good news that you can now, wherever and whomever you are, be involved in what God is doing today." He's inviting you to take part. He's inviting you into a new future, a new future. You guys bow your heads and close your eyes. Today, if you can feel God calling you, maybe you aren't walking with him the way you should. Maybe you're not walking in faith. Maybe you've been just paralyzed by fear. Maybe you've been being still so long that you feel like you're spiritually dead. Maybe you don't have Jesus in your life right now, and you want that new life. You want to walk in this new life. I just want to say a prayer with you. If everyone would just say this prayer. just say it out loud with me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. It's not the end of the conversation. It's just the beginning of the conversation with him. But that's the starting point. Jesus, I give you my life. He's inviting you to take part in his life. We trade our life for his. It's a beautiful thing. Lord, you've done great things in our past, but we thank you that you are doing even greater things in our future. We thank you, God, that we are moving into what you have for us. That we're not going to maintain, God, we're going to multiply, we're going to grow, we're going to have faith in what you're doing. Lord, I thank you today that we are no longer victims, but we are victorious in Jesus. That our best days are still in front of us. Lord, I thank you that our past cannot determine our future because we have you with us. Lord, I thank you that if anyone in here feels completely defeated, Lord, that you will begin to just send a fresh breath of life to them. That they would realize that their life has greatness in it. That you are for us, not against us. That you are for them, God. So make them and mold them into who you want them to be, Lord. Open the right doors, close the wrong doors. Lord, that you are bringing the right people into our lives. And Lord, you're helping us to weed out the wrong people. Lord, give us wisdoms to make great decisions for our future, for our destiny, that we would lead our families, we would lead our homes into the way that you would have us to go, Lord, that we would choose to honor you, that make choices to follow you forward into the future that you have given us. Amen. Amen. You guys stay seated for one more minute as the video closes us out.